Hello, everybody. It's 9:59 p.m. and you're listening to KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino Placerville. This is The Mole Hole with me, The Mole. On tonight's episode, I'll be talking with anarchist rapper Soul, who started the abstract rap collective and label Anticon, but now focuses on an independent music career and political activism. We've also got Mary St. Mary in the studio. She'll be helping me out with two brand new segments on the show. As usual, we'll also be hearing a bunch of cool music and some of your favorite segments like Ask Dragon Master, an investigative report, and much more. But first, for their support, we'd like to thank the Old 5 Mile House Restaurant and Bar, serving New Orleans Cajun cuisine throughout February, and presenting Mesmerism, an improvisational duo featuring Jim Rodney on electric guitar and Arthur Gould on 5-string electric cello, Sunday, March 2nd at 5 p.m. Details at theold5milehouse.com. And Automotive City, serving Nevada County since 1997. Automotive City is a fully equipped automotive repair service and facility, and is a smog test and repair facility servicing most makes and models. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30, Saturday by appointment. You can call them at 530-732-5220. And if you'd like, you can give us a call in the studio at 530-265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867. And we're going to start off the show with Soak My Eyes by Cartoon Monster from his album Warm, available at cartoonmonster.bandcamp.com.
Why do you roll ancient nights years old. You're the cold maid of Salem, freezing cold in ancient nights years old. All right.
But the same as shoes, now the whole building's sane in the hallway, maybe just the color bar style. Chains of fire to keep the cold war, baby, sustain, yeah, blue drill, whoa. Weather's the same, man, shoot a coffee and steam. You never charm another judge because Dave is a sham. You're coming up, choose to pie for ham. Solo, hoba, hoba, just get another covenant thing. Oh, what difference is Stan? Like to choose to go, a man. Give the truck to the magic carpet to rainy girls. Poke something.
My eyes like sizzling, and you're so cold with diesel eyes. You're the cold man, Salem, freezing cold in ancient nights, you so alright.
My eyes lie slim thick, and you go so cold with diesel eyes.
Freezing cold in national school zone.
What else you know, sleeping in the given machine, to learn the tits another dove ho, have a good time, with the phrases low. We can see him in the sand, that should become a band, unless there's too many cars, the number four, I wanna drive this thing. My ice might chisel it, and if you're so cool, what breezes are alright. Going may just jaywalk, freezing cold in ancient nights, use old, alright. Get extra dumb feelings, he can tell him and oh, there's people that ask that like beating you off.
My eyes like sizzling, and I go sometimes with pizza eyes. Call him as you see when freezing cold in ancient nineties, oh, alright.
You'd like to dump feeling sick and denim and oh, there's people that ask it like beating you off.
That was Rainy Girls by Buck 65, and before that was Green Hosamon by Batfinks from the album And the February Hiss. And now it's time for the debut of a brand new segment on the Mole Hole. It's called
Snark Attack with Mary St. Mary.
In this segment, the outspoken Mary complains about something. And here's Mary with her opinion on government-designated obesity and neighborhood tweakers.
Yeah, let me just preface this by saying the views and opinions expressed in this segment of this show are those of the speaker only, and not necessarily those of KVMR, its board, management, staff, or contributors. All right, first off, what's the deal with doctors telling a patient that they're getting paid by the government to tell you that you are obese? This, what is this? And when there's obesity is not even on the table. Government, I don't get it. What's going on and why? Okay. Second, judgmental tweakers. While I was walking up the hill to my residence, there is a tweaker house, and it was in the middle of the afternoon, a beautiful day, and I'm wearing my usual all black. And this tweaker got in my face and said, "How dare you wear the black? You're sucking energy." Judgmental tweakers. Let's hear it about that. Then I want to talk about 86th, the business of getting 86th. Now, I heard recently somebody that got 86th from an open mic. An open mic? Really? For being too, I don't know, what? An open mic is just that. It's open to the public. Bring it. The more, the better. So, this is my snark for today.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Thank you, Jonah.
That concludes
Snark Attack with Mary St. Mary.
Next up, this is Natural Feelings by Pregnant from the album Life Hard I Try.
Before you're out the light, take a peep if I'm Aphrodite. Boy, make sure you're right. You better look if I'm Aphrodite. Before you're out the light, take a peep if I'm Aphrodite. went to bed. He was feeling grand. This within himself he said, tonight the promised land. Him drop near and touch her thigh, but she got in a plight. She jump out the bed and start to cry. I am a Muffredite. So boy, make sure you're right. You better look if I'm Muffredite before you out the light. Take a peep if I'm Muffredite. Yeah, make sure you're right. You better look if I'm Muffredite before you out the light. Take a peep if I'm Muffredite. The man now felt so badly, he began to weep. The wife said, darling, hubby, you should peep before you leap. Now if you should love a girl at sight, before you start to brag, make sure she's not a Muffredite, no buy pussy in a bag. So make sure you're right. You better look if I'm Muffredite before you out the light. Take a peep if I'm Muffredite. Boy, make sure you're right. You better look if I'm Muffredite before you out the light. Take a peep if I'm Muffredite.
That was Muffredite by Count Lasher and Williams from the Trojan Calypso box set. And now it's time for
Ask Dragon Master.
Hello, Dragon Master. I was just wondering if you're single and if you are or not or whatever. What's your type?
I'm not exactly single, but I am available. The Dragon Master has many types, but I do enjoy a lady with a high charisma.
Speaking of the ladies, I was wondering what kind of activity would you recommend for like a first date?
I would recommend taking your first date on a dragon ride. That always impresses the ladies.
If you have a question for Dragon Master that you'd like answered on a future episode of The Mole Hole, please direct your query to dragonmaster@angelic.com. Next up, this is Así Que Los Que Sí by Dick El Demasiado.
The Mole Hole.
Who are you? Where do you come from?
Intruder.
I repeat, who are you?
I am the Red Worm.
That was Red Worm by DJ Kubert from the album Wave Twisters. A couple local events coming up. The Davis Musical Theater Company announces auditions for the Pulitzer Prize-winning musical A Chorus Line on Sunday, March 2nd at 7:30 p.m. and Monday, March 3rd, also at 7:30 p.m. More info on that at dmtc.org. And a used book sale will be held on Saturday and Sunday, March 1st and 2nd, 8 a.m. till noon, at 2166 Switzer Road in Penryn. The sale will benefit Gold Country Wildlife Rescue of Loomis. More info at 916-663-1608. You're listening to The Mole Hole on KVMR with me, The Mole.
And now, Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy.
The wise man can pick up a grain of sand and envision a whole universe, but the stupid man will just lay down on some seaweed and roll around until he's completely draped in it. Then he'll stand up and go, "Hey, I'm Vine Man."
How I'm feeling more than Gucci. Every time you play this record, smell like ash. Follow them moves, screaming like a coupe. Mr. Mina, move my nigga like a hoochie. For them haters, say that's whatever you say. Because you know I'm too cool for you anyway. I'm just a bad miss. I'm a fuss up in a club with no guest list. Them other artists, I keep them all restless. I don't French kiss unless it's sent. I'm heavy sent now, watch I do the ish.
Oh. You just heard Balam Garden by Arca. And now it's time for the
Recipe of the Week
with our special guest recipe provider, Soul, an anarchist rapper who I'll be interviewing in depth coming up very soon. He's got a recipe for vegan fettuccine sauce.
You know what, right now we're making vegan fettuccine sauce with cashew cheese. So typically to make that, what I would do is I would maybe soak a cup of cashews in water for 20 minutes to 40 minutes. Then I'd take the cashews out, blend it up in a food processor, then in a pan, I'd saute up some onions. When they get translucent, I would then throw in herbs, probably pepper, salt, sage, maybe rosemary, really doesn't matter, just any herbs. I would then mix in the cashews with some unsweetened soy milk, maybe, I don't know, a quarter cup of soy milk. And then I'll just keep blending all that stuff together until you get the desired consistency. If you want it more salty, throw in more salt. If you want it to have a more bitter taste, squeeze half of a lemon in, sometimes a whole lemon. You know, if you want it to have a kind of rich, cheesier kind of taste, fermented kind of taste, you can throw a little, like a 2 teaspoons of miso in there. If you want it to be thicker, you can maybe put like a half or a third of a thing of tofu, blend that, mix that in there, throw in nutritional yeast to taste, but I put in at least a quarter cup, and then at the end, put in garlic. Really, the sky's the limit with your cheese sauces.
And that was the
Recipe of the Week.
Next up, this is Wait For Me by Paul White.
Tuned in to KBMO.
KBMO.
FM. Nevada City. The hottest.
The hottest.
Radio station on the planet.
Can you feel it?
We like the cars. The cars that go boom. We're at T-Cross and Bunny, and we like the boom. We like
Hey, Bunny. Gross me out. That car in your backyard doesn't even match your outfit.
Oh my god, Tigra, gag me with a spoon. I guess I need to get rid of it and get a new one.
Ooh, let's drive it off a cliff like Thelma and Louise.
Or drive it to Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein is thousands of miles away, and this car only gets 4 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what? I could donate it to KVMR and get a tax write-off, and then I could totally go get some new shoes.
Oh my god, that sounds totally hard. How do you do it?
It's like totally easy. Even though there's not an app for it, you just call 1-877-411-3662 or go to centerforcardonations.com. They'll come and totally take it away.
But we live in Arizona.
Well, you can do this from anywhere in the U.S., even the San Juan Ridge.
Will they take my Ski-Doo? Since I drove it over a sand dune, it, like, hasn't totally been the same.
If it has an engine, they'll totally take it.
My spaceship?
Does it run on gasoline?
No, dilithium crystals.
I think you better put that one on Craigslist.
Remember, donate your vehicle to KVMR from anywhere in the United States just by calling 1-877-411-3662 or go online to centerforcardonations.com. Do it before the end of the year for a tax receipt.
It's like totally the right thing to do. Now, how am I going to get to Liechtenstein?
Back. What if I had a purpose and two better ghosts make mine see through? Tried to be an all like we haven't deformed to fill the ocean with, to drain the ocean with fabricated icons, singing soulless to plastic cylinders about the neck. Commercials for the death of passion, no airtime. Now that I'm a manager in American land, sneaking weed on the satellite, putting the towel into my tongue for old time's sake. Fashion killing fashion daily, just 5 minutes and the fraction of bullets. I wear stress like a cheap skin, blended with the cool killers, while some friends turn the world off in the living room. I live the disinformed, the uninformalist, with the depot click on the 16-bit horizon. Humankind is no religion, I believe in leaving this world untouched, only if you never survive the womb. Why get it? It's a working man's world and a puppeteer's playpen. The monkeys learn to play deaf down by the riverbed. Famine's a conveyor belt, dreams for the seasick continent itself. Why get it? It's a working man's world and a puppeteer's playpen. The monkeys learn to play deaf down by the riverbed. Famine's a conveyor belt, dreams for the seasick continent itself. It's just fashion, killing fashion daily. If you didn't see it coming, you weren't watching. So there's nothing you can save except money. Buy everyone you can. Flowers and subway spores. Hit the holes in my teeth or holes in my pocket. Waging wars and unseen enemies in this gift war. Can't fail like the U.S. economy. Only nuclear war is for what's left of my family. Not to waste it, to bury carefully in the ashes of my heart and from somewhere to hide. I can't believe they still pay me to smile, cause I follow the trends in my veins. Through the holes in my lungs, there's no smog on me. 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 There's no smog on me.
That was Ode to Clean Air by Soul, who is featured next in this
exclusive interview.
Over the next hour, we'll discuss his musical evolution over the past couple decades, focusing on his involvement with the legendary avant-garde hip-hop collective Anticon. We'll talk about his views on politics, anarchism, and activism, and we'll hear about his recent music projects. Plus, we'll hear a new unreleased song from his upcoming album, Death Drive. So, I first found out about you around 2000, when your music collective and record label Anticon was really beginning to gain ground and become a major influence in the world of underground hip-hop, creating a pretty big movement towards avant-garde and experimental styles. For people that are unfamiliar with Anticon, can you sum up its formation and initial rise?
You know, we're just like a product. We're just something that got spit out of the pre-matrix. Basically, it was just a whole bunch of people that heard each other's music through tape trades. Me and Pedestrian moved to the Bay Area. You know, him and I had been kind of working in the music industry and getting a lot of experience about record labels and soaking up a lot of game over the years. So when we moved to the Bay, Dose and all these other people moved out, we started a collectively run record label. It's the first collectively run hip-hop label that I know of. And, you know, there were just a number of factors working in our favor at that point. We had access to a certain certain method of doing things with distributors and press, so that when we started releasing this music, it went everywhere, in conjunction with the fact that that was when Napster and tape trading was really big, and our music spread really far through these tape trades. Like Deep Puddle Dynamics was almost like a cult classic before it even came out on CD, because the demos had circulated so far. And that was really in the early stages of the internet, and I think that had a lot to do with it, for this sort of radical music to just kind of get out there, and the industry not having its proper checks and balances to repress that music. At that point, it got through. Yeah, so that was it. The record label, we started it. It was dedicated to putting out avant-garde, experimental hip-hop that otherwise wouldn't have a place.
One of Annie Khan's early releases was a compilation called Music for the Advancement of Hip-Hop. From your perspective today, do you see Annie Khan as having had a lasting impact on hip-hop?
Absolutely. I mean, I would even say that its influence went far beyond hip-hop to rock and electronic. I think Annie Khan was really one of the first to really get crazy with mashing up styles of music like that. Mixing it up with electronic music and indie rock, like a lot of the stuff that Kanye West and all these dudes are doing now, you know, could have easily been on an Annie Khan record back in the day. And that to me is really interesting. And outside of that also, I think, I mean, I hear people's music all the time that are like, you know, pretty big artists, and I'm like, oh, that guy's influenced by Nostom, you know? And I meet those people all the time as well. I mean, a lot of people who grew up listening to Annie Khan went on to do really awesome shit. There's a lot of really awesome producers that kind of came up around the time of Annie Khan that just went on to do, like, really awesome music. So that's cool, too.
Yeah, it was definitely a big influence and inspiration for me as a musician at the time. Today, you're no longer part of the Annie Khan label, and the label has also distance itself from rap music to some degree, focusing more on alternative stuff. So tell me why the change.
What do you mean?
Why are you no longer part of it?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. I mean, basically, you know, things just evolved a certain way where the way that I thought that the record label should be running versus what everyone else thought, there was a gradual shift. And there was a shift to where the artists were having less and less say, and a lot of decisions were just being made by the people running the label that I didn't always think were in the best interests of what Annie Khan was supposed to be about. When me and Pedestrian started the label, we had very clear ideas about what kind of lyrics, what kind of stance, what kind of politics it should be, what kind of, just always to push the envelope and to provide a platform that wouldn't otherwise exist. And, you know, over the years, it became more of a record label and less of a collective. And I wouldn't have had so much of a problem with it if I was benefiting from any of that, but I felt like I wasn't. And so it was just at this point where I was, like, working some job, doing network shit, after I'd moved to Denver, and I was working my job, and I realized I wasn't making any money at all, and I didn't have any support for anything I was doing, and I was just like, I was done. There were things that happened along the way that led that along, but at a certain point, I was just like, you know, this is more of a negative influence or negative thing in my life, and I need to move on. I've tried for 5 years to hold a certain line, but it just was leading to so much frustration that it was mentally, psychologically, artistically, it was best for me to plot my own course. You know, a lot of the business ideas that kind of made Annie Khan work was a lot of my ideas. And so moving forward into the future, I had my own ideas about what a record label should do, what it can do, how artists are going to make money in 2020. Record labels are more concerned about how they'll keep their lights on. And so at that point, it just didn't seem to benefit me anymore to be on any label. So I just pulled my masters and went DIY, and then overnight my life changed. And I was living really well, and I wasn't tripping. I wasn't broke. I wasn't having to play shows all the time to make my rent. And that's one of the problems with being on a label, is a lot of that money you make off your records just sort of disappears into thin air, and it's not a way for artists to live. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But I'm still friends with all the artists, most of them anyway. And you know, I like Baths. If that was cool.
What's the current structure of your music business then? How is it involve other people, or is it just you? How's it all work?
It's 100% just me. You know, I just have like my own distribution through Revolver, so I can get stuff to record stores all over the world. I can push stuff through my digital distributor as well. But you know, I mean, it's probably the same thing you do, man. It's just like you make a song, you make a video, you know, you work the blogs. I've been saving up journalist contacts for years. Every time anyone had ever written anything about me, I'd always reached out and collected those email addresses, so next time I did it, I wouldn't have to hire someone to talk to these people for me. And so over the years, I built up a pretty big database so I can get like all the blogs and all these things without a record label. But what I like about it is it's a new way of working. And when you have that instant gratification, and you can try things out in real time and experiment and see, like, okay, does this work? You know, oh, I'll do this video. This works. Okay, that's not working. This works. And you can, if you have PayPal, you can just see how things are working out with the way that you're choosing to sell your music or distribute it. And so it's just a really fascinating, fluid, and challenging time to be running a label or being an artist / label. I'm constantly trying new things and learning new things, and it's all changing so fast. It's like a nonstop job, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad to hear it's working out for you. Listening to your music from the beginning until now, I can sum up about four different periods. What I'd say is you started off in the 90s with a relatively classic approach, boasting about your verbal skills over typical minimalist beats, and then gradually approaching a very abstract and poetic lyrical style and a dense delivery with more psychedelic sounding beats in the early 2000s, and then switching to a still somewhat cryptic and complex but much more political conspiracy theory influenced vocals over beats with classic rock and electronic influences in the mid 2000s, and then finally the current phase, which is overtly political, plainly worded, and much less densely delivered over generally sparse, impactive, and dramatic hip-hop beats. Would you agree with that summary?
I would agree with everything about the conspiracy stuff. I don't think I've ever been a conspiracy theorist.
But I just thought that like the Live from Rome album must have had some influence from some like conspiracy books that I'd probably been reading around that time too.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I read Pull the Pale Horse, you know. So there was certainly stuff on Live from Rome that were tied in, that were influenced by Behold the Pale Horse.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, maybe so, maybe so.
Well, in any case, can you talk about what influenced you to progress in the ways that you have over the years?
I mean, basically, I guess, you know, when I was a kid, when I was in like eighth grade, I started reading Malcolm X and the Black Panthers and all this stuff and Public Enemy. And so I'd make all these songs about, you know, breaking out of prison and, you know, all these crazy kind of like Chuck D-ish kind of songs. And then we did that. I tried to make music like that for a while, but it just ended up sounding stupid. Then I went gangster. Then I started making like gangster music. And then I got introduced to like I'm talking like 94 or something. Then I got introduced to Freestyle Fellowship and Organized Confusion and Saphir and all this. Like, I started getting exposed to this crazy underground music around, probably around 1993. And so that's like my standard hip hop period, but that's kind of the end of it also. So at that point I started listening to, you know, this sort of experimental rap music, and I just wanted to make music like that. Back then, music was still, like, independent music was still pretty positive and conscious. It might have been, like, I mean, just throwing words everywhere, not making a lot of sense, but it was never, I don't know, very violent. So, yeah, that was the indie hip-hop period. So I started listening to all this, you know, Freestyle Fellowship and stuff, and it changed my ideas about music. At the same time, I got introduced to Portishead and DJ Shadow. And when we moved to the Bay and we started making more music, I started doing kind of these diary-ish, deep puddle kind of raps, like super personal, emotional stuff. And that stuff really resonated with people at the time because nobody, there wasn't like emotional rap music out like that at the time. So, you know, I always knew that things were really wrong with the world, and but I never really had a vocabulary to talk about it. I never knew how to defend my ideas or what I felt. I thought that the school systems were, and our society was flawed, but I didn't know enough about history or anything to be able to talk about what the alternatives would be. And so I would always just sort of allude to how these like vague social criticisms, but I never really felt the need to go deeper.
Speaking of which, I wanted to play I Don't Rap in Bumper Stickers from Bottle of Humans. Can you talk about that song a little bit?
Sure. I'm a new institute. I mean, that song is just, I mean, what's funny about that song, I Don't Rap in Bumper Stickers, is that I kind of rap in bumper stickers now. So it's, everything's coming full circle.
Yeah.
I Don't Rap in Bumper Stickers is just me talking trash. I don't even remember what it's about. Just remember it being one of the hardest songs on that album. I've been doing this for too long to keep singing the same song. This is another one of those happy moments not made for anyone. I don't rap in bumper stickers. I'm waiting with 40 liners. Every breath is a chorus. Sing along if you're still breathing. I've got guards, I've got issues. Nowadays I've learned to not criticize. Ever seen my foot in mouth stance? I'm G-walking. Broken token, something of little appreciation. It's really see where all of this aggression stems from. You gotta always play the nice guy. Days of Gavin convention with no one to see. Every day they put up new doors and I don't want the keys. If I'm not getting blackballed, I'm getting white boy. You can condescend me, but you can't offend me. I'm sure I'll get all the secret codes. From showing love to slow becomes trendy. For me, I dig myself holes. Somebody marry me, I'm getting old. Somebody remind me why I continue to press on. I need a flamingo to put on my front lawn. I need a front lawn. I need to stop feeling sorry for myself. I need to stop. Everything is fading slowly. No longer selling out, I'm buying in. Redefining my grin, making new medicine. Someone sick of it all, but I can't get enough. In hating females less, accepting the fact I'm slowly dying. And can't make any songs that glitter or be happy in roller skating rinks. Of the revolution, it's all about star crafts and bomb pilots and meaning what you say. So if you don't understand it, I can't explain it. And if you don't understand it, I can't explain it. And if you don't understand it, I can't.
Perfect moment is on the floor. I live it for my life, I'm selling my presence. So I can eat out occasionally. I don't spend enough time here, it's the alien in me. All the space.
Once again, that was I Don't Rap in Bumper Stickers by Soul from his album Bottle of Humans, released in 2000. You're listening to The Mole Hole on KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino Placerville. The time is 10:58. We'll continue the interview with Soul, discussing his more recent music as well as his political activism and what identifying as an anarchist means to him. First, for their support, KVMR would like to thank California College of Ayurveda, now enrolling students for practitioner training in Ayurvedic medicine. Weekend classes begin March 8th. Full-time classes begin April 1st. Course catalogs and offerings are online at ayurvedacollege.com. The California College of Ayurveda, their natural health clinic and spa, are open to visitors at 700 Zion Street in Nevada City. And now, back to our
exclusive interview
with Soul, where we pick up where we left off with Soul explaining how he transitioned from introspective lyrics to a more politically conscious angle.
Then 9/11 happened. We were all in New York on 9/11, and we just got totally freaked out. And at that point, I realized I didn't want to not know why things happened. I didn't want to know why stock markets crashed or why